you wanted to say. Don't do it. You've been down that path before. You know where it leads you. But she couldn't speak. She could barely even see him. Black dots were crowding out her vision as her oxygen-starved optic nerve began to fail. Don't let him trick you again. He couldn't possibly hear her, but she suspected it wouldn't make any difference. In his shoes, she would be tempted to give in too. After all they had been through, after all they might have been, but had been denied, they at last had a second chance. Arguably, that was worth more than any political movement or philosophy. So long as they survived, their love would survive. Nothing else mattered. She understood, but she felt no relief as Darth Vader's terrible grip loosened, and she fell painfully to the ground. Cool air rushed into her lungs. She coughed as though retching, feeling pain all along her windpipe. Over the sound of her hacking and wheezing, she heard two metallic clinks and looked up to see what had happened. Starkiller had deactivated his lightsabers and thrown them at Vader's feet. They rolled across the rooftop, their residual heat making the raindrops steam. Her vocal cords were red raw. Juno could only shake her head as Starkiller took three steps forward and went down on one knee at Darth Vader's feet. "I'll do your bidding," he said. "Just promise me you'll never hurt her again."
"That depends entirely on you."
Starkiller bowed his head, and Juno fought the urge to weep. She understood the dark place from which his capitulation had come, but submission to Darth Vader was not the way to save her. That way lay nothing but more separation and death, and betrayal, and murder. She had to find the strength somehow to free Starkiller, just as he, clone or original, had somehow fought his way back from the dead in order to find her again. Her desperate gaze caught sight of one of Starkiller's lightsabers. It had rolled in her direction and lay just out of her reach. If she was quiet, she might just be able to reach it. The equation was very simple, really. Once before, she had abandoned her entire life for Starkiller. She could easily abandon this one, too, if it meant saving him from the horrible fate he'd just accepted, thinking that it would save her. Vader's back was to her, and Starkiller's head was still bowed. She raised herself to hands and knees and reached out for the lightsaber.
"You will find and kill General Kota. If you refuse, the woman dies."
Starkiller said nothing. Maybe he nodded, but Juno couldn't see him. Vader had placed himself firmly between them once again, symbolically as well as physically.
"You will return to me and give yourself to the dark side. If you resist, she dies."
The warm metal hilt slid into Juno's hand. She lifted it gently, afraid of making any noise at all, and raised herself to her knees. This was the first time she had held a lightsaber. She knew all too well that it was probably going to be her last.
"And when your training is complete, you will hunt down and execute the rebel leaders."
Still winded and aching from head to foot, Juno rose unsteadily to her feet, feeling for the lightsaber's activation switch, and hardly daring to take her eyes off Vader's back as she did so. They were less than 2 paces apart.
"If you fail, she dies."
She pressed the activation switch at the same instant she lunged. The bright blue blade sprang to life with a startling hiss, but she didn't let herself be distracted. She'd used vibroblades in her training days. She knew how to wield a sword. It was even simpler than the point-and-shoot quip about blasters. She stabbed at Vader's back, taking the one chance she had left to reclaim her life with Starkiller. For an instant, she thought it might actually work. Vader's attention was firmly on Starkiller, and the sounds of battle provided effective cover. What was one more energy weapon over the hundreds in play in the facility? At the last instant, however, some arcane instinct must have warned him. He turned with inhuman speed. She could barely credit her eyes. Black holes didn't spin so fast. The tip of Starkiller's lightsaber grazed the front of his chest panel, producing a shower of sparks. She felt no resistance. Then he pushed her in exactly the same way Starkiller had pushed the stormtroopers. She felt as though the world moved out from under her, sucking all the air away with it. The lightsaber fell from her hand, and suddenly, she was flying. Her head snapped forward, and the rain boiled around her. The air itself seemed to hurt. She was moving so fast. Vader receded into the distance with uncanny speed. How far he pushed her, she couldn't tell. It seemed to last forever, but she knew she had to hit the ground sometime. She hoped it wouldn't be soon. Landing was going to hurt. Something slammed into her from behind. It did hurt. The last thing she felt was rain falling into her open eyes. The last thing she saw were three lightsaber blades painting red and blue shapes against the encroaching black. Chapter 25. Starkiller ran past Darth Vader to where Juno lay broken on the edge of the cloning spire's roof. Horror and self-reproach filled his mind. He hadn't seen her crawling for the lightsaber. He hadn't sensed her desperate plan until the very last moment. And it was his alarm that had alerted Vader, he was sure of it. He and his former master had reacted at the same time. If Starkiller had moved an instant faster, had a fraction more of a second to think the problem through, he would have pushed Vader just as Vader had pushed Juno, impaling him on the blade before it was whisked away. Instead, he had thought only of saving Juno, a plan, he feared, that might always have been doomed to failure. He stopped her before she flew off the edge of the roof, at least. But the grisly crunch of bones when she landed was unmistakable. Her head was bent at an impossible angle, and her eyes didn't track him as he ran toward her. Juno! A black-gloved hand grabbed his shoulder. He pulled away, howling with rage. His fallen lightsaber snapped into his hands and came instantly to life. With both blades moving in tandem, he struck out at his former master, using all his strength, all his rage, all his grief. Darth Vader blocked the blow, but only just. Starkiller pushed, and the Dark Lord stumbled backward. Instead of pursuing the attack, Starkiller went to go to Juno, but once again, Darth Vader stood in his path. Get out of my way!
Your feelings for her are not real,
Vader said, not moving.
They are real to me!
Starkiller attacked the Dark Lord again, but this time he was the one driven back. With a sense of piercing despair, he saw exactly how the fight would go. He and his former master would dance like marionettes while Juno lay dying, if she wasn't already dead. And the war raged around them, unchecked by this minor tragedy. In the context of the galaxy suffering, Juno was just one freedom fighter who had died that day, one among many on Kamino alone. Only she hadn't given her life in combat, or to save someone less fortunate than herself. She had been snuffed out, thanks to the manipulations of one single tortured man. A man whose stubbornness would never allow him to give up, admit fault, or compromise. Starkiller knew nothing about the Dark Lord's origins, but he knew what he had become. More monolith than man, His shadow bestrode the Empire, casting darkness wherever it fell. But what was the source of that scourge? What twisted psychology had brought him to where he stood now, risking his life to prevent the clone of his failed apprentice from coming near the body of the woman he had loved? Sudden understanding burst in Starkiller's mind. This was what Darth Vader had wanted all along. He had been right to fear that Juno was in danger, but not just from clones like him, from Vader, who would use her death to destabilize Starkiller and lead him headlong back to the dark side via anger and despair. Where Starkiller had seen hope, where Starkiller had been willing to sacrifice his own destiny to give the woman he loved a chance to live, his former master had seen only opportunity for betrayal. For without Juno, what did Starkiller have left to live and fight for? He had no family, friends, or allies. Juno was always intended to be the catalyst for his downfall. Her precipitous attack had merely brought the critical moment forward. Starkiller saw things very differently. It wasn't Juno who had to die to complete Starkiller's training. It was Darth Vader himself, and he had brought this moment upon himself. Had he been content to let Starkiller go, none of this would have happened. Were he dead or freely searching for Juno, either way, he would never have willingly come back to Kamino. He would have gone anywhere else and never returned. Darth Vader simply wouldn't let go. The massive cloning exercise itself was proof of that. He had raised Starkiller to be a monster, and he would let nothing get in the way of achieving that outcome. Not even Starkiller's own death. Even if it took 1,000 reincarnations and the death of trillions of innocent people, Darth Vader would not give up. His persistence, his unwillingness to accept defeat, was both his greatest strength and his greatest weakness. All the clones were destroyed. As far as Starkiller knew, he was the last one left. So that was one vision averted, at least. No matter what happened, no version of him would fall foul of Darth Vader's vile plan now. They fought like the Sith Lords of old, raging back and forth across the roof of the spire, uncaring what happened around them. Starkiller maintained his efforts to get to Juno, and Darth Vader did everything in his power to stop him. Neither would capitulate. Neither would be the first to break. Their wills were locked. They broke apart, lightsabers hissing in the ceaseless rain. Lightning split the sky into 1,000 jagged shapes. Thunder rolled. Neither had noticed the battle fading around them. "Let me go," Starkiller said, sounding much calmer than he felt. His heart was pounding, and his lungs burned. "You've taken everything from me. You must see that I will never serve you now."
"You are wrong. I have given you everything."
"This?" He gestured at Juno's inert form. He couldn't tell if she was breathing, but he still held out a distant hope. "You have done nothing for me."
"It is our destiny to destroy the Emperor. You and me, together."
There it was, Starkiller thought. That promise again. Surely Darth Vader could see that it meant nothing now, after so many times offered in the past and none of them fulfilled. Unless a deeper layer of understanding presented itself. Unless Darth Vader felt exactly the same as he did. What lengths had the Emperor, Darth Vader's master, gone to in order to create him? And how far would Darth Vader go to get revenge? To attain his own destiny as a Sith? "The rebels want to destroy the Emperor," Starkiller said. "Why not work with them, rather than..." Vader attacked before he could finish the sentence. A blistering combination of blows that left Starkiller on his back foot. Clearly, he had hit a very deep nerve. For a fleeting moment, the plan had seemed almost inspired. With Darth Vader on Coda's side, what couldn't the Alliance accomplish? But it was a dream. The rebels would never trust the Emperor's apprentice. And Vader was making it very clear that he wanted no part of it either. The vehemence of his response left no doubt about that. Starkiller found himself backed up almost to the edge of the cloning spire's roof. One more step, and he would fall. And to fall would give Vader the high ground. That might not result in his death, but it would certainly end the fight. It needed to end now, or else it might never end. Blow after blow rained on him, forcing him back. There had to be a way to free himself and avenge Juno at the same time. But a stalemate seemed unavoidable. Any move he made was sure to lead him to an indefensible position. Then it occurred to him. An indefensible position was exactly what he needed. He lunged. Darth Vader saw him coming and swiped with unbeatable strength, sending Starkiller's left lightsaber flying in pieces. Starkiller lunged again, and his right lightsaber joined his left. He fell back, beaten, and stared up at his former master.
"This is your last chance,"
Vader said, standing over him with the unwavering tip of his lightsaber pointed directly at Starkiller's chest. Starkiller stared up at the black mask, sure of two things. Vader didn't want to kill him, but not out of mercy or sympathy for his lot. The Dark Lord had invested far too much time and energy in recreating his former apprentice, and he wouldn't want to throw all that away. Not when he seemed on the verge of victory. Juno was dead or dying. Starkiller was disarmed and helpless. Any rational being would at least consider Vader's offer. The second thing Starkiller knew was the best way to beat Darth Vader is to let him think he's won. Thinking of Wedge Antilles, he said, "I make my own chances." With both hands, he sent a wave of lightning into the sparking gash Juno had made in Vader's chest plate. The Dark Lord staggered backward, transfixed by the unexpected retaliation. Starkiller leapt to his feet and followed him, keeping up the lightning attack and using telekinesis to rip Vader's lightsaber from his temporarily weakened fingers. Sheets of energy spread out across the wet rooftop. Smoke and steam rose up in a tortured spiral. The grating whine of Vader's respirator took on a desperate edge. He went down on one knee. Starkiller stood over him. Vader's lightsaber swept into his former apprentice's hand. The blade came to rest at his throat. Starkiller stared into the black mask, breathing heavily. One twitch of the blade, and Vader would be dead at last.
"Wait!"
said a voice from behind him. Starkiller froze, remembering his vision of being stabbed in the back. But the other clones were dead. And like the owner of this unexpected voice, he didn't need to look to see what was in fact occurring. Booted feet splashed in the water as Coda and members of his squad ran up the ramp and surrounded him, training their guns on Vader. Starkiller didn't move. He kept the lightsaber at Vader's neck, ready to finish what Vader himself had started.
"Why wait?" he asked. "You want him dead as much as I do."
"Yes, of course."
There was no hiding the venom in the general's voice.
"But not yet. Not until he's told us the Empire's secrets. You want to take him prisoner?"
"To a hidden rebel base where we can interrogate him.
Put him on trial for crimes against the True Republic."
Starkiller felt Coda's hand on his shoulder.
"And then we'll execute him, to show the galaxy that we don't need to fear him any longer."
For several seconds, the only sounds came from Vader's wheezing respirator and the storm around him. Water ran down Starkiller's face in rippling streams. Coda's hand gripped him tightly, and it wasn't entirely a gesture of reassurance. There was warning in it, too. Coda didn't understand. Starkiller was under no threat of the dark side. He wouldn't turn evil just by killing Vader.
"If I let him live,"
Starkiller said, "he'll haunt me forever.
The general came in closer and spoke in a whisper only Starkiller could hear. Remember this. Vader is the only one who knows if and how you survived. He can't tell you if you are the original you, if he is dead. Starkiller looked at Coda. The general's face showed no sign of dissemblance. He meant everything he said, even though it pained him. Under any other circumstances, Coda would have relished killing Vader himself, but here he was arguing against it, with one hand on his lightsaber hilt, to show that he meant business. Starkiller looked at Vader, kneeling in the rain with his own lightsaber at his throat, waiting for Starkiller to complete his training and do what Vader had never been able to do himself, kill his own master. Either way, Starkiller thought, I've beaten him. That was the only thing left that mattered. He deactivated the lightsaber and turned away. Coda instantly took his place, holding his blade at Vader's chest while the rebel soldiers moved in.
Get something to hold him, Coda ordered. Quickly!
Yes, General. Starkiller didn't stay to watch. Proxy was kneeling next to Juno's body, checking for signs of vitality. Starkiller ran to them and dropped on his knees at Juno's side. Her eyes had closed. Wet hair lay flat across her forehead, limp and colorless.
Is she? I'm sorry, Master. I can't revive her.
Juno's features flickered across Proxy's metal face and then vanished.
I have failed you again.
Barely hearing Proxy's words, Starkiller gathered her up into his arms and held her tightly to his chest. She was still warm, despite the rain. It's not your fault, Proxy. It's mine.
Yours, Master? Is your primary program malfunctioning too?
All Starkiller could see was smoke and storm clouds and the ruination of war. I should never have left here, Juno, he said to her, although she was beyond all words. I should never have come back. Chapter 26. At the sound of an unfamiliar energy weapon activating nearby, Juno looked up from her work and reached for the blaster pistol at her side. Putting down her welder, she disengaged the safety on her pistol and inched out from under the ship. Two men, armed with lightsabers, leapt and tumbled with inhuman agility across the hangar. When they gestured, metal walls buckled and engine parts flew like bullets. One of the combatants rammed his crimson lightsaber through the chest of his opponent, and things took a decidedly strange turn. The arms, legs, torso, and face of the stricken man flickered and dissolved, revealing the bipedal form of a droid, which fell forward with a clatter of metal on metal.
Ah, Master. Another excellent duel.
The droid struggled to stand and remain upright.
Easy, Proxy. You're malfunctioning.
It's my fault, Master. I had hoped that using an older training module would catch you off guard and allow me to finally kill you. I'm sorry I failed you again.
I'm sure you'll keep trying.
Of course, Master. It is my primary programming.
Droid and Master began moving through the maze of debris across the hangar.
Proxy, who is that?
Ah, yes. Your new pilot has finally arrived, Master.
You know why you're here? Starkiller asked her.
Lord Vader gave me my orders himself, she said. I am to keep your ship running and fly you wherever your missions require.
Starkiller seemed neither pleased nor displeased. Did Lord Vader tell you that he killed our last pilot?
No, but I can only assume he gave Lord Vader good cause to do so. I will not.
We'll see. I'm sick of training new pilots. For every ending, there was a beginning. And for every beginning, a middle.
In the cells of the Empirical, she stared in amazement not just at Starkiller, but at the slaughter he had meted out to her stormtrooper guards as well.
Juno.
Words didn't come easily. The last time she had seen him, he had been floating through space to all appearances dead.
It's really you.
Proxy cut across the reunion.
Master, hurry. She is part of your past life now. Leave her behind, as Lord Vader commanded.
I can't.
Starkiller destroyed the Magnalocks holding her captive. Weakened by months of confinement, she fell to the ground and had to be helped to her feet.
I saw you die, she said,
staring at him in disbelief. A thousand confused thoughts formed a pileup in her mind.
But you've come back.
I have some unfinished business.
Vader.
Don't worry about him, he told her. Easier said than done, she thought, although the reality of her rescue was slowly sinking in.
I've been branded a traitor to the Empire, she said. I can't go anywhere, do anything.
I don't care about any of that. I'm leaving the Empire behind. He offered her an expression that might have been a smile. And I need a pilot.
I hope you have a plan.
He nodded. There are two things I want, and I can't get them on my own. The first is revenge. To get that, we need to rally the Emperor's enemies behind us.
Go on.
The second thing I want is to learn all the things that Vader couldn't or wouldn't teach me about the Force.
If we're not careful, she had said, we might end up in our old job again, hunting Jedi.
It had been a joke. After Empirical had come Kashyyyk, and after Kashyyyk had come Felucia.
Juno, wait! This isn't what...
Of course it is, she snapped, pulling away from him.
You're still loyal to Vader. After all he did to us, branding me a traitor and trying to kill you, you're still his...
His slave.
Yes. But if that's so, why? Why did you defy your master to rescue me?
My being here has never been about my piloting. He neither denied nor admitted the truth of her accusation. She went to leave, but on the threshold she stopped.
I don't know who or what you really are. Maybe I'll never know, but sometime soon, you will decide the fate of the rebellion, not your master. That's something he can't take away from you. And when you're faced with that moment, remember that I, too, was forced to leave everything I've ever known.
After Felucia, Raxus Prime and Corellia. Juno could see Starkiller's grief visibly turning to anger as he realized exactly how far he'd been played for a fool by his master.
Yes, you did do what he wanted. There's no point hiding from it. And now the fate of the Alliance rests on your shoulders. The question is, what are you going to do about it?
He wrestled with his emotions and thoughts. When he raised his head, he was resolved. We're going after Vader. And the Rebels.
Where?
I don't know. He admitted. Not yet.
Do you know how this is going to end?
He hesitated, and then shook his head. No. But there had to be an ending. The only question was, when?
Juno, don't say it. Don't say a word.
She glanced at him.
Just tell me you're still sure. This is what we have to do, right?
It is.
All right.
The air outside was cold but breathable. As the ramp opened, it rushed in around them, making her shiver. The view down to the surface of the Death Star was giddying, but she was unable to look away.
I have a really bad feeling about this.
Then we must be doing the right thing. She looked up at him.
Am I going to see you again?
Probably not, no.
Then I guess I'll never need to live this down.
She pulled him closer to her and kissed him hard on the lips. That looked like an ending. It certainly felt like an ending.
He's at one with the Force now, Coda said.
And when things ended, they stayed ended.
We need a symbol to rally behind, Leia said.
Agreed,
said Garmbel Iblis. The princess wiped dust from the table, revealing Starkiller's family crest etched into the wood.
A symbol of hope.
They were supposed to anyway. Juno watched the rogue shadow leave Corellia with a sinking heart, although she knew it would be perfectly safe in Kota and Bail Organa's hands. There were just so many memories attached to it. Letting it go was like losing a part of herself. Unfortunately, she wasn't losing the part of her that still ached for him. That remained exactly where it was, in the center of her chest, pounding like a funeral drum.
I hardly ever see you smile, said Shire, tapping her dangling boot with one of his metal legs. You wisecrack and take shots at everyone, but you don't laugh. Is there a reason for that?
Juno wished she hadn't had that last eye blaster. It was making her headache, but doing nothing at all to help her forget.
It's old news, she said,
wondering if maybe the problem wasn't having one too many, but not having had enough. She was beginning to wonder if there would ever be enough.
Congratulations, Captain, said Commodore Vidas on the bridge of her first command. The Salvation is a fine ship. It will serve you well, and I know you will return the compliment.
Thank you, sir.
She tried not to stare around the bridge in wonder. The truth was that she felt proud and daunted at the same time. She had come a long way from TIE fighter squadrons and secret missions for Darth Vader. Her expression fell, as it always did when he came to mind.
Don't worry, said the Commodore, coming closer to whisper a brisk reassurance. We all feel nervous the first time out.
He had misunderstood her mood, but she didn't correct him. Better to let him believe what he wanted to believe, and to keep her scars hidden.
Let's not be blinded as Kota was, said Mon Mothma, by the dream of an easy victory. We learned the hard way that will never be our lot.
You wouldn't be saying that if Starkiller were here.
Mon Mothma looked at her sternly.
He's not here, so the point is irrelevant.
Juno stared, blinking, as a figure dressed entirely in black leapt out of a hole in the floor. The bounty hunter fired three shots in quick succession. The energy bolts were deflected by a pair of spinning lightsabers into the walls, where they discharged brightly. By their light, Juno saw the face of the man running toward her. Juno stared at the clone in the tube, her jaw working. Through her distress and confusion, one core certainty remained. It didn't matter where Starkiller came from or what he was, just so long as he was the same man she had loved. She would know who he was the moment she saw him. Nothing in the universe could keep that truth from her. Vader stepped aside. Juno saw Starkiller, and he saw Juno. In that moment, she knew. She knew that she was right and Darth Vader was wrong. Shire was wrong. Mon Mothma was wrong. Everyone who insisted Starkiller's story had ended was wrong.
Your feelings for her are not real.
They are real to me.
Not even death could stop her from hearing him call her name.
Juno, come back.
Chapter 27. Juno's face was wet. From tears or the rain, she couldn't tell. Her entire being felt relieved of a mighty weight, as though an incredible pain had just been taken from her, leaving her not quite of the world. Kamino. Memories rushed back in. Vader.
An echo of that terrible pain swept through her and then disappeared forever. Starkiller. He was holding her. She could smell him. When she opened her eyes, she could see him right there, so close to her that he almost seemed part of her. His forehead pressed firmly against hers. His eyes were closed, and his face was wet too, although perhaps not from only the rain. She reached up and touched his cheek, felt him start and almost pull away. Their eyes met. Weightless, impossible, miraculous. There were no words for how she felt. Time had rolled back, and so many wrongs had been righted just by being here, now, with him. She pulled herself up and kissed him properly, without fear, without regret, and without the smallest doubt that it was the most perfect thing to do in that moment. He held her as though he planned never to let go. "We're alive," she whispered into his ear. "We are both of us, so very alive."
Epilogue. Camino. Sometimes, on exceedingly rare occasions, it stopped raining on Camino. On this occasion, Starkiller thought, there might be a very good meteorological reason for the relatively fair turn in the weather. Numerous fires burned in the doomed facility, sending hot air rising into the cloud layer, while the upper atmosphere still boiled from the battle that had only recently finished. He wasn't, therefore, entirely surprised by the sudden sunlight that shone weakly down onto the restless ocean. He just knew it wouldn't last.
"The rogue shadow's on its way," said Coda. "As far as containment and concealment go, that remains our best bet."
"Agreed," said Juno, all business.
She stayed at Starkiller's side, tightly holding his hand, having made it clear several times that she was unwilling to be parted from him. He wasn't remotely inclined to force the point. It still seemed a miracle that they were together again, after all the obstacles the universe had placed in their path.
"And you," said Coda to him in a sharper tone, "where do you stand now? Are you with us, or going off on your own? Now you have what you want."
Juno glanced anxiously at him. There hadn't been time to talk about how this changed things. He didn't know when they would find time to.
"I'm with you," he said,
sure that Juno would have it no other way. Wherever his destiny lay, it would be with her and the rebellion she served. If they would have him. 100%. Coda nodded, although his relief was clouded. They had scored a significant victory against the Empire, but so much more needed to be done. If Coda still wanted him to be a rallying point, then so be it, as long as it got the job done. In that sense, he supposed, it didn't matter if he was a clone or not. The ends justified the means, and the ultimate end was to defeat the Emperor. He was sure no one would quibble about his pedigree when that day arrived. Still, the clones he'd murdered on Camino would haunt him forever, he knew. What gave them any less right to live than him? If he was one of them, the stain of fratricide, or suicide, would always be on his hands. Unless, he suddenly thought to himself, the Starkiller who had died on the Death Star had been a clone, and he was the original after all. Maybe then, if that were the case, his doubts would be settled. Only one person knew the truth, and he wasn't talking. Juno squeezed his hand as though sensing his inner conflict and seeking to reassure him. He squeezed back, wishing they had time to be alone. They had so much to talk about, so many events to catch up on. Now that they had both returned from death, it was finally time to start living. Someone shouted on the other side of the spire roof. Starkiller anxiously glanced in that direction, right hand reaching for the lightsaber hilt at his belt. It was nothing. Just a slight disagreement over the proper fastening of the harness. Still, his attention was diverted.
"Go help," said Juno. "I've got a meeting to attend anyway."
She kissed him briefly on the lips. Just don't go too far away.
Starkiller understood that sentiment completely. The power of love had brought her back to him. He could see no other explanation for it. It hadn't been the Force, and it hadn't been medical science. Unless there was more happening on Kamino than simple cloning. However it had happened, he couldn't assume that just because it had happened once, it would ever happen again. Only with great reluctance did he allow his hand to leave hers, telling himself that surely a few meters wouldn't hurt. Leaving Coda and Juno to discuss Alliance business, he strode over to where the members of Coda's new squad were dealing with the weighty matter of the prisoner. Juno watched him go and was unable to hold in a smile. She still couldn't believe it had worked out this way. Coda was alive, Vader captured, Starkiller back at her side, and the operation on Kamino a success. She was certain now that the Alliance would see the sense in Coda's approach and ultimately succeed in all its aims. Feeling Coda's blind-eyed attention on her, she shifted the direction of her own stare. Above them, numerous capital ships orbited, including the gutted remains of the 3-star destroyers stationed in the system to defend the facility. She counted several Alliance cruisers and frigates, among them one whose configuration she didn't recognize. "Where'd that come from?" she asked, pointing.
"The MC-80," Coda said. "A friend of yours on DAC heard you were in trouble and sent it to help. Tipped the balance in our favor."
Her smile broadened. Akbar. Things were coming together with incredible speed. Whatever Starkiller had done to bring her back, he seemed to have made everything else right as well. Proxy came to join them.
"I am expecting the transmission at any moment,"
he said.
"There have been some difficulties establishing completely secure protocols, but I believe..."
The droid stopped in mid-sentence. His holoprojectors sparkled and shimmered. With a crackling noise, his appearance and posture changed, and Juno found herself staring at the youthful face of Bail Organa's daughter. "I received your message, General," Leia said. "But as you're supposed to be dead, I'm not sure how much credence to give it."
"It's true, Your Highness," he told her. "We have him."
"Vader himself?"
"He's being prepared for transport as we speak."
Leia looked as though she still couldn't believe what she was hearing.
"This changes everything. When the Emperor hears we've got his prized thug on a leash?"
She visibly snapped herself out of her thoughts. "That's not for me to decide. Captain Eclipse, I'm relieved to see you in one piece, too." "Thank you," she said. "I hope you're not seriously injured."
Juno raised her left forearm, which was encapsulated by a field brace. Her shoulder still bothered her, but she didn't notice the pain anymore.
"I'll live."
She would indeed. "My commiserations regarding the salvation. I understand it was lost during the assault on Kamino. A small price to pay," she said, although she reminded herself to take Starkiller to task for that later. If he made a habit of destroying her commands, she would never get anywhere in the Alliance hierarchy. "We'll use the Rogue Shadow to ferry Vader to Dantooine." Coda added, "At the same time, we'll send 12 freighters in 12 different directions. Even if someone finds out we have them, they won't know which ship to follow."
"Excellent," said Leia. "And the security detail?"
Juno and Coda exchanged glances.
"We have it covered," she said.
"It's not just the Imperials we have to worry about," Leia said, her face very serious. "As I'm sure you're very aware, General, there are plenty of people on our own side who would like to see Vader dead. The mission to overthrow the Emperor is more important than any personal vendetta."
Coda cleared his throat. It sounded like the growl of a large and dangerous animal.
"Rest assured, Your Highness," he said, "that if Vader dies in custody, it won't be by my hand. And anyone who tries will feel the hot edge of my blade."
Leia nodded. "Thank you, General Coda. I know I can trust you." Coda nodded stiffly, as he always did when offered a compliment. Leia smiled reassuringly, and Juno was impressed by the deftness with which she handled him.
She combined the military understanding of Garmbel Iblis and the diplomacy of Mon Mothma. Perhaps, Juno thought, she might turn out to be the one to marry both means and end, and thereby unite the alliance, not her father or Coda, or even Juno. If she only had time to grow up.
I'd like to debrief with you personally, Captain Eclipse, Leia said. Do you think we'll have the opportunity on Dantooine?
I hope so, Princess, Juno said, surprised but pleased that Leia had made the overture.
Coda said, We'll contact you again once we have Vader safely locked away.
Good. Leia's expression was cautiously optimistic. After the bickering and confusion of recent weeks, it looked good on her.
This is a turning point for the Alliance. You should both be very proud. May the Force be with you.
Juno saluted and Coda bowed. Proxy's holographic form dissolved and Leia was gone.
Keeping him a secret is going to be difficult, said Coda.
Which him? The General inclined his head to where Starkiller was assisting the imprisonment team.
My squad will never tell anyone. You can be sure of that. But they're not the only ones who've seen him. A pilot is asking about someone who hitched a ride in his Y-Wing. Some of the survivors of the Salvation have been talking too. I think we can trust Berkelium Shire, but...
Starkiller was on Malastar?
Yes, 2 days ago. Why?
She shook her head. It didn't matter. They would have plenty of time later to chart their near misses. Hopefully the repairman didn't say anything untoward.
I thought you wanted him to lead the charge.
Coda sighed.
I do, yes, but our illustrious leaders need to sort themselves out first. He can't keep swooping in and fixing things for them. And the questions, people will insist on asking.
Is that why you didn't tell me about him?
He nodded, jaw set like stone, and Juno could tell what was going through his mind. It had been going through hers, in the bounty hunter's prison ship.
Until they knew for certain where Starkiller had come from, would the Rebel Alliance ever really believe in him? Would have Juno herself, had she not seen him with her own eyes?
Bail Organa's words came back to her. I don't trust that kind of power. He, at least, would be especially difficult to convince.
Juno felt a faint pang of regret at that. Of the few people she could have talked to about how she was feeling, Leia was the only one she trusted to be completely honest and objective. But her loyalty to the Alliance and her father was fierce, too. This was a bomb Juno couldn't afford to drop in her lap without being sure it wasn't about to go off. War got in the way of friendship, just as it got in the way of love. The list of casualties wasn't confined just to people. She knew, with a sinking feeling, that the debriefing session on Dantooine, if it happened at all, would have to be all business for both of their good. So much for being a role model, she thought.
I'll encourage him to keep a low profile, she said, confident that Vader and Coda himself would give the Alliance leadership plenty to argue about for now.
What about Kamino?
I hope you're not thinking of leaving all this behind for the Emperor to start up again. We'll search the databases for any information on the space station the Emperor's building. I'm sure it's all been erased, but it's still worth looking. Then we'll ditch the Star Destroyers into the ocean and wreck the facilities with the resulting tsunami. In an hour or two, there'll be nothing left.
Good, she said,
thinking of Vader's sinister efforts to recreate the perfect and perfectly evil apprentice. The sooner they were at the bottom of the ocean, the better. She thought of Dak and smiled again. If forest worlds were bad for her, then ocean worlds were the opposite. The sea air suited her clearly. A familiar shape swooped overhead. The rogue shadow had scored some new dents and scratches during the action, but looked unharmed in any significant way. Rebel soldiers had cleared a space for it on the rooftop, and Coda loped off to supervise the next stage in the operation. Juno watched the ship descend lightly on its repulsors, and found herself looking forward to getting behind the controls again. Just like old times, she thought. With the Empire on their heels, an uncertain future ahead, and fragile hope in their hearts.
Excuse me, Captain Eclipse.
Juno forced herself to tear her gaze from the ship. Yes, Proxy, what is it?
While ascending through the cloning spire, I couldn't help noticing the remains of several droids of my class. I wonder if, with your permission, I could attempt to salvage some of the components I require to restore my primary programming.
The droid blinked anxiously at her, and Juno could see no reason to refuse.
All right, but don't take too long.
Imperial reinforcements will be here soon, and you don't want to be left behind.
No, I do not. Thank you, Captain Eclipse.
Proxy hurried off, dodging and weaving around soldiers and technicians, making ready the harness that would keep the Rogue Shadow's new passenger secure. Juno's mood darkened at that thought. Hardly like old times at all, with him aboard. Still, it wouldn't be for long. And if all went well, he'd soon be out of the picture entirely. And she, along with the rest of the galaxy, would breathe a heartfelt sigh of relief. The harness seemed large enough to hold a rancor, and still the soldiers were nervous. Starkiller stayed nearby in case of slip-ups or the slightest hint of an escape attempt. Except for one moment, when the harness swung a little too far to the right and threatened to hit the Rogue Shadow's airlock frame, he let the soldiers do their work unimpeded. A slight nudge through the force put the harness on course again, and no one was the wiser. Coda followed the harness inside to check that it was firmly secured to the deck and ceiling. Starkiller didn't go with him. He still wasn't certain he had done the right thing. Twice now he'd had Vader at his mercy. Twice, Coda had talked him out of it. He wasn't sure if that was wisdom of the highest order, or madness utterly beyond his understanding. If Vader broke free, he knew he'd never get a third chance. He had to make this one count. Coda emerged, looking satisfied.
Did he say anything to you? Starkiller asked.
Not a word.
He never told me anything worth hearing in my entire life.
What makes you think he'll talk to anyone on Dantooine?
Everyone has their breaking point, said the general. Even him.
I think he passed his years ago.
Coda's blind eyes searched Starkiller's face, but he said nothing. Starkiller told himself to be happy. He had everything he had set out from Kamino to find, and more. The only thing he had forgotten to think about was what happened next.
Brought you here, the galaxy has,
the strange creature in Dagobah had told him.
Your path, clearly this is.
Maybe this was his path then, but if so, he remained utterly in the dark as to what lay at the end of it. Proxy hurried past them and up the ramp into the ship, clutching a tangled mess of droid parts to his chest. He looked like a droid on a mission, and Starkiller took that as his cue to enter the ship too. He couldn't avoid going up the ramp forever. That was a journey whose end he was completely sure about. He found the droid in the crew quarters, taking out bits and pieces of his own circuitry and plugging new modules in their place, prompting strange responses as he did so. His photoreceptors went from yellow to green and back again. Holographic limbs came and went. Weird buzzes and squeaks issued from his vocabulator.
What are you doing, Proxy?
Asked Starkiller, alarmed. The droid looked up at him and didn't seem to recognize him for a moment. He took a half-melted circuit block out of the back of his skull and inserted the original back in place.
My primary program is still missing, Master. I am trying to replace it.
Are these from the droids I killed? Starkiller asked, stirring the parts with a finger.
Yes, Master. It is clear now that my line did not end with my manufacture.
Proxy took out another block from his head and replaced it with one from the pile. Instantly, his holoprojectors went crazy, shooting electrical arcs around the room. His arms and legs flailed, and Starkiller quickly reached over to remove the offending component.
I think you should be careful, he said as Proxy settled back down.
Thin streamers of smoke rose up from the droid's joints.
Better to have no primary program than no existence at all.
The droid looked disconsolate.
That is what Captain Eclipse says, but I do not understand why. My malfunctions upset her. I fear she may have me melted down if they continue.
She would never do that, said Starkiller, hoping it wasn't true. Describe these malfunctions to me. Maybe I can help. Proxy did so, quickly and clinically, even though it clearly caused him discomfort to admit to his faults.
Most disturbing was the period when I looked like you, Master. For some reason, I could not return to my normal form. That was when Captain Eclipse shut me down, for her good as well as mine.
I understand, Starkiller said. He could imagine what Juno had felt with an identical copy of him hanging around, talking like Proxy talked, when he had been supposedly dead and gone. He hated the thought of it as well. He understood on a deeper level, too.
Something lost!
The voice of the wise little creature on Dagobah returned to him again.
A part of yourself, perhaps?
I think you're trying to replace the wrong thing, he said, indicating the chips and circuits from the dead droids. Look at the people you're imitating and ask yourself, do they have something in common? Maybe they possess something you're missing. Proxy gravely considered the possibility.
Perhaps, but apart from all being human and known to me, I can't see how you, Captain Eclipse, General Kota, Mon Mothma, and Princess Leia are similar at all.
Well, give it some more thought. That's an order.
Yes, Master. I will do my best.
Proxy began fishing around in the pile of spare parts again, clearly not intending to abandon that pursuit as well. Just remember that I need you in one piece, no matter what kind of primary programming you have.
Yes, Master.
Starkiller stood. He and Proxy were still alone on the ship, apart from the prisoner, but that would soon change. It was time to get it over with. Leaving Proxy to piece himself together, Starkiller walked through the ship to the entrance of the meditation chamber. There he took a deep breath and checked that Vader's lightsaber was safely at his side. The door slid open at his touch. Two small overhead lights illuminated the entrance. More flickered on as he walked into the circular space. He didn't hesitate. His step never faltered. Inside, though, he felt only conflict and confusion. He stopped in front of the harness. The last of the lights flickered on, revealing the harness and the prisoner contained within. Darth Vader's arms were hidden from the elbows down by thick Durasteel cuffs, his legs below the knees likewise. Thick magna locks encased his waist, chest, and throat. A cage surrounded his helmet, leaving only the face exposed. A faint hum of energy field pervaded the air. One more step closer, Starkiller knew, and he risked disintegration. His former master had no choice but to look down at him. Even Vader, with his prodigious strength and willpower, could barely turn his head. The only sound was the relentless in-out of his respirator. Starkiller returned the stare, acutely aware that he had initiated this confrontation, and that even in the harness, his master seemed more imposing and threatening than ever. He didn't know what he had come to say exactly, but he could feel his determination fading fast. "I let you live," he said, before he could think about it too much. He meant it as a provocation, but it emerged more like a question, an expression of disbelief. As though he himself still didn't quite believe what he had done. If he had truly cast aside the Sith's notion of destiny to kill his own master, what did that leave him now? Did he even have a destiny in this life? Vader said nothing. "You tell me I'm a clone, a failed clone, but I chose to spare you. Does this prove you right or wrong?" Still, Vader said nothing. "Maybe Kota is right," he said more softly. "Maybe everything you told me was a trick. Maybe you were trying to get me so confused I'd forget who I really am and become your slave again." His eyes narrowed as they took in the restraints keeping his former master utterly helpless. "Either way, I've finally broken your hold over me." Vader stared at him, unable to convey anything by expression or body language.
It was like talking to a statue. With a small, disgusted sound, Starkiller turned to leave.
As long as she lives, I will always control you.
Starkiller stopped and almost turned. What was this? Another empty threat? A last desperate mind game? The truth? It didn't deserve a reply. He wouldn't give Vader the satisfaction of seeing his face and the uncertainty he was sure it displayed. When he left the room, the lights flickered out and the door slid securely closed behind him. There were survivors of the Salvation among the troops on the ground. Juno had no intentions of going anywhere until they were accounted for and provided with berths on Alliance ships. Several Imperial vessels had been commandeered from the landing bays on Kamino. She felt it her duty to ensure at least a couple of them went to her crew. She didn't know how long it was going to be before she would be in such a position again. Perhaps when more of the Mon Calamari cruisers came into service. Juno thought of Nitram and how he had betrayed her to Mon Mothma. She couldn't begrudge him that, although it had caused her inconvenience at the time. Just like her, he had only been trying to do the right thing. It didn't seem fair that he was dead, while she lived on. Had she been standing where he was on the Bridge of the Salvation, she would be in his place. Had he had someone like Starkiller to champion him, he might still be alive. One of the downsides of command, she told herself, was losing good crew to the vagaries of fate. Best she got used to it, just as Vader's bounty hunter would have to get used to the idea that he wouldn't be paid for this particular job, now that his employer was locked up for good. Finally, everything was ready for departure. The decoy freighters were loaded with Fey cargoes and crewed by people either utterly loyal or, if there was a chance of a traitor among them, at least aware that they were part of a much larger deception. Only a handful of critical personnel knew precisely who was going where. The betrayal of the fleet's location by the Itani Nebula was still fresh in everyone's mind. "Word will get to the Emperor eventually," she said to Coda, as they took their leave of each other on top of the cloning tower. The whining of engines was rising all around them. "We can't avoid it." "So we get our demands in earlier," the general said. "Or we allow him to sweat for a bit." "That's Mon Mothma's decision. Just get Vader to Dantooine in one piece and leave the rest to me." "Of course." She saluted. He returned the salute. "We'll be waiting for you." "Not if I get there first." Coda jumped into a waiting shuttle and ascended immediately in the direction of the new frigate. Juno took one last look around the surface of Kamino and shivered. The clouds had closed over again. A new storm was brewing on the western horizon. She was the last one left on the roof of the cloning spire, where so many awful and wonderful things had happened. Soon, it would be gone forever. Tightening the collar around her bruised throat, she ran up the ramp and into the rogue shadow, vowing never to look back. Darth Vader was standing in the crew compartment, domed head looming high above hers, seeming to fill the whole ship with shadow. Juno reached for the blaster at her side, heart thudding hard in her chest. With a flash of light, Vader disappeared. "Proxy?" Juno lowered the blaster. Her hands were shaking. "What on Coruscant are you playing at?"
"I am experimenting, Captain Eclipse," said the droid, reaching up to tap the back of his head. "My master suggested that I ask myself what the people I have been imitating have in common. The only detail I can discern is that they have a sense of purpose beyond themselves. They stand for principles, not just self-preservation, as I must too in order to be whole."
She remembered what Leia had said about there being a message behind Proxy's manifestations. "Maybe you knew that all along, on that deeper level of programming you talked about, and you've been trying to tell yourself about it."
"That is possible."
"But Darth Vader fits. How exactly?"
"I am as yet unsure. This may be a residue from one of the chips I have salvaged."
He serves a master too, don't forget. And if he has any principles, they're not anything you'd want to follow.
Assuredly not, Captain Eclipse.
Proxy looked pleased, and she didn't have the heart to argue the point. Well, good, I guess, she said. I'm glad your primary program is finally fixed. We're going to need you in full working order.
I exist to serve, Captain.
Juno brushed past him to the bridge, where Starkiller was sitting in the co-pilot's seat. A hit of deja vu struck her as she crossed the threshold. He looked up. Anything wrong? Absolutely nothing, she said, coming to sit next to him at the controls. Although she hadn't been inside the Rogue Shadow for more than a year, the layout of the console seemed as familiar to her as the back of her hands, as the battered fatigue on Starkiller's face. Proxy took his seat behind them.
All systems are fully functional.
She placed her hands on the controls. A series of deft touches closed the ramp and brought the repulsors to life. Gently, the Rogue Shadow lifted off and rose into the sky. Starkiller's expression was impassive, but she could tell that he was watching closely as the cloning towers receded below them. Barely had they lifted off when the first of the gutted Star Destroyers hit the ocean several clicks away. There was a flash, like the rising of the sun, as several megatons of water instantly vaporized. The shock wave radiated outward in a wave of steam hundreds of meters high. In seconds, the tsunami reached the towers, knocking them over and occluding the wreckage from sight. Ahead, bright stars appeared through the thinning atmosphere. Dotted among them, the shining constellation of the Rebel fleet, all proudly marked with the symbol of the Alliance. Starkiller's family crest, with none of the soldiers or commanders aware that the one who had inspired it was among them again. The Rogue Shadow joined 12 small freighters in orbit above the waterworld.
You have your orders,
said Commodore Vidas to each of them in a firm and steady voice.
May the Force be with you.
One by one, the freighters accelerated, each heading along a different trajectory into hyperspace. Juno counted them off, double-checking the course for Dantooine. As their numbers dwindled, she glanced at Starkiller, who was still staring back at Kamino. The expanding, circular shockwave looked like the pupil of an enormous eye. He was difficult to read sometimes, and this was no exception. She reached out and placed a hand on his forearm, breaking his concentration. Ready for light speed, she said. He managed to smile. I'm ready for anything. Her other hand pushed a lever on the console, and the hyperdrives kicked into life. The Rogue Shadow flung itself forward. Stars turned to streaks ahead of them. This time, Juno hoped, the past was left far, far behind. This is Jonathan Davis. We hope you've enjoyed this unabridged production of Star Wars, The Force Unleashed 2 by Sean Williams, based on the story by Hayden Blackman. This program was directed by Kevin Thompson. Executive producer Dan Zitt. Star Wars, The Force Unleashed 2 is a production of Lucasfilm Limited, copyright 2010. All rights reserved. Used under authorization. Music composed by John Williams. Music publishing by Warner Tamerlane Publishing Corporation and Bantha Music. Music master production copyright 2007, Lucasfilm Limited. This has been a Random House audio presentation. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.